Welcome to episode 2 of the Princeton Laxcast for 2018. I'm Jerry Price, and I am joined by Princeton head men's lacrosse coach Matt Madelon. Coach, welcome.
Happy to be here.
So, interesting times now for the Princeton lacrosse team. It was an opening win in 2 overtimes against Monmouth, 9-8. And then now heading to the road on consecutive Saturdays to take on Virginia and Hopkins. And let's start with the game last Saturday against Monmouth, because I think that a 9-8 double overtime win over a team that went to the NCAA tournament last year is much better than a 19-8 win where you don't really have to, I think you get a win, so you feel good about that, but you also have all the things you need to work on get exposed, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, it was, Coach Fisher and those guys did a heck of a job. They came in, their unit was prepared. They played a good game. They did a better job than us on ground ball, something that is always a focus of ours. So, look, to be able to come out on top of that, start the season with a W, and then to be able to learn from a W, it's always a better seat. So we're happy where we're at, but we had a heck of a lot to work on this week. And we're going to grow up quickly. As Jerry mentioned, the schedule, we go to Virginia this weekend, and then we're at Johns Hopkins next weekend. We're 1 week at a time, one play at a time, but we're going to see what we're made of early on in these first few weeks.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the players from the game the other day. The Ivy League Player of the Week was Tyler Blaisdell. Clearly had a good game and clearly saw a lot of shots. Now, as a former, he saw 57 shots, which is a program record for Monmouth. As a former goalie, yes, seeing 57 shots is a shooting gallery, but it also keeps you sharp the whole time.
Sure, and I don't know how many were on cage. He did see a ton of shots.
He had 17 saves and 8 goals against a 25 on goal.
So 25 on goal. So Tyler did a heck of a job. I mean, he stood on his head at points in that game and made a real clutch save. With about 4 or 5 seconds left in the fourth quarter, and then was able to make a doorstep overtime save too. So, he really, he had a good week of practice. Focus is one of his main goals on every play. So he was able to come down, stay focused, make a lot of saves. He did a really nice job.
And then the freshman Chris Brown has 2 goals and 3 assists in his college debut. And as near as I can tell, the only 2 players at Princeton, 2 freshmen ever to have 5 points in their first game of their freshman year, are Brown and Michael Sowers.
Yeah, Chris Brown did a nice job. He was playing on the wing for us. He was able to capitalize on some opportunities early. He actually created a few, 1 or 2 unassisted goals, which were just, really, really nice plays. But he's doing a good job of understanding our offense. His IQ keeps getting better every week. And, he's a big body, so he's going to be a guy that's, he's going to play a lot of minutes for us down the road.
But when you have a freshman in his first game, besides the production piece, I assume you're looking to see, are they intimidated? Do they fit in? Is it, is the jump from high school to college, something that they're doing, able to do? And I think, that alone, forgetting the production, I think he really, there was no part of him that was afraid.
No, you're spot on. He operates like that every day. And to tell you the truth, with our scheduling, with not, having an outside competition this fall, we kind of used our 2 early season scrimmages to allow these guys to grow up. So, 2 unofficial college lacrosse games, and this would have been his 3rd, first official. So he did a really nice job. The stage was not too big for the young guy. We were really impressed by him.
And then I thought, a couple other guys, Philip Robertson, 3 goals, 3 shots. Now in his career has 6 goals on 7 shots. And you tell a guy who has 6 goals on 7 shots, shoot more. But again, his first start, he stepped in. And, I think the thing that was really impressive about Brown and Robertson is that they weren't getting offense as a result of what Sowers was doing. They were playing together. Of course, Sowers was a big part of it, but it wasn't like they were completely reliant on Michael Sowers to get on the ball, which I think is also a great sign.
No, Phil Robb did great. Phil Robb did great. He did an outstanding job working off ball, finding great space, working without the ball. He actually made a very selfless cut on the last play of the game in overtime that actually helped open Riley Thompson up. So he's just a really savvy off-ball player, and we're excited once he does start carrying the ball for us. I mean, he's a heck of a one-on-one dodger. He does a great job absorbing contact, good job with vision. So he, too, is going to get better every week.
And then defensively, I thought Daniel Winchie, that might have been his best game.
Yeah, defensively, we did a really nice job.
Maybe Brown last year at 52, but he played 3 caused turnovers, 4 ground balls, and you know, was very composed and did a pretty good job.
He did. We need a lot more out of those guys down there. But it was a defensive win. Anytime you can play four quarters and two overtimes and give up eight goals, you know, you're going to tip your hat to the defense. They grinded it out. They manufactured stops and a few clutch ones in overtime. But all game, they did a nice job. You know, we were a little tired down that end early. But I think as we were able to settle in, you know, and get a little, you know, and work through our slide recover packages, we were doing, you know, we ended up creating some turnovers.
So if faceoffs ended up being 50-50, each team won 10, but shots were 57-36 in favor of Monmouth. So if possessions were essentially even, because it was a 9-8 game, yet they had that many more shots, isn't that kind of an indication that the defense was forcing them to take shots they maybe didn't want?
I'd like to think so. I mean, we went back, watched it on tape. You know, again, you know, it's not to take away anything from Monmouth. They did a heck of a job. But we were able to force them into some spots where we felt comfortable making saves from. And then, again, Tyler took a handful off the board. So, you know, the defense did a really nice job. They were organized. You know, they were doing a great job sliding. And, again, they did force some shots. Now, offensively, you know, that – offensively, we weren't playing at the right clip. We weren't playing Princeton lacrosse speed. You know, we were a little slow. We were a little lackadaisical. So, you know, we've been back to the drawing board. We've been putting those guys to work this week to hopefully shift that.
So this week, the task is the University of Virginia. So Princeton and Virginia have a great history. Princeton's beaten Virginia twice in the NCAA championship games in 1994 and 1996, which were very similar games, both played at Byrd Stadium. Both went to overtime. Princeton won the faceoff both times and scored on the first possession of overtime both times. And Virginia, you know, they had that, I don't know how well you know the Doug Knight guys and Michael Watson and, you know, that, I don't know if you know them at all.
Absolutely, but, of course. You know, I used to watch those guys growing up.
I mean, it has to bother them to this day that they, you know, that they didn't get any national championships. And, you know, they were the next best team in that stretch. And those were epic games that Princeton played with Virginia. And, you know, in part of building the legacy of Princeton, this rivalry, and especially in the postseason, those were tremendous games. And then also from 96 to 98, Princeton was 43-2, and both of the losses were to Virginia. You know, the rivalry faded away over the last 10 years, and now trying to bring it back, you know, just looking for a good team to play, or is it something more special given the history between these teams? And how much of that history do you even know?
It's a little of both. You know, very aware. You know, you sit up in that office and you get to stare at six national championships every day. You know, you're very aware of the guys that came before you, and you're very proud of those guys. You know, that's the reason why, you know, I'm sitting in such a wonderful spot. But in terms of the, you know, two ways, you know, A, great scheduling, B, great rivalry, you know, and we want to get teams. You know, when I had taken over, it was a priority to get teams like Virginia and Syracuse back on the roster. And Syracuse, due to conference realignment and scheduling, you know, we're still working on that one. But in terms of Virginia, no, it's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity for our guys early in a season. Play an outstanding team. Play a different style. They're an up-tempo. They're an up-and-down. So we're looking forward to it.
Short of the weather turning into just complete downpour, it says it may rain, but it's not supposed to be like epic rain. But, like, let's assume that the rain doesn't affect the game. I'm assuming this one's not going to be 9-8.
You never know. I mean, we're taking a defensive stance, so we'll take a 9-8 win. We'll take, you know, that's how it shakes out. But no, I'd imagine these are two high-scoring teams. You know, I think as our offense gets back on track and gets clicking, we should be able to put some goals in the back of the net. And they've proven to be a high-powered offense, so we're going to look many ways to slow them down and manufacture stops, but I'd imagine there are going to be some shots taken in this one.
Yeah, and I also think that when you play a team that wants to score as much as Virginia does, most recently Tuesday night, an 18-12 win over High Point, when you play a team like that wants to constantly push the pace more than anybody else probably and wants to just, like, play a track meet and is willing to give up goals just to keep the offense flowing, they're going to have a 5-0 run in there somewhere or some sort of run, just like your team will. When you're a goalie, especially, or on defense, and it's like that, how hard is it to say to yourself, we're going to have that. We're going to give up more than, you know, we did last week in all probability, obviously trying not to. But how do you, like, stay mentally sharp knowing that, like, the goals are coming, but, you know, each stop then becomes so much more important?
I mean, we fall back on the culture piece. We talk to these guys all the time about it, you know, in a programmatic approach of how to take one play at a time. You know, you're going to give up runs. Any team can win on any given day. So I think it's just a matter of kind of hitting the reset button real quick, getting focused again and trying to manufacture the next stop. I mean, it's always been a game of runs. I think with the faceoffs being more prevalent and people dominating there, it turns, you know, you can see a lot of teams do that. But Virginia, say the last 2 years, maybe they've been notorious for it, but I'm hoping not against us here.
And so Lars Tiffany is the coach at Virginia. He was at Brown before, so you've seen him before and you know him. And he's trying to take Virginia, who has that great history, and sort of get them back into the upper echelon where they've really struggled in recent years, shockingly struggled, I would think. And I think that they have a lot of faith in him as a coach as he is trying to rebuild that program. And I think it's a great thing for Princeton to get back on their schedule. And I also think that it's okay to go down to Charlottesville and play this game now, in February 24th.
Oh, absolutely. We're hoping to catch some nice weather down there. No, Coach Tiffany's done an outstanding job, did a good job in his last handful of years at Brown. Kip Turner, who's always been by his side, good friend, he's also done a heck of a job down there. And for him to get back to his alma mater, I think those guys, have their program going in the right direction. They're great coaches. We're looking forward to facing off.
So for Princeton going down there, and I should know this off the top of my head, I don't. I think Virginia's played 3 games. I think they're 3-0.
They have.
And Princeton's 1-0. How big a jump do you make from game 1 to game 2? Or is there at what point do you feel like you've caught up to where everybody else had the head start?
I think it's right around this week, next week. I think that obviously, starting a little later, you have just, it's a much more condensed time to implement systems. So we took approach, we were able to implement some stuff this fall where we would hope it would speed up the preseason, allow us to get acclimated to new guys and new faces in certain spots. And we're still in that process. I mean, look, there are many roads to the national championship game, one being the Ivy, one being out of conference stuff. So at this point, we're looking to continue to get better every week and put a great performance on the field. We're really excited to get down there.
So your team scrimmaged Albany 2 weeks ago and saw firsthand what Albany brings. And were you surprised that they went out and beat Syracuse 15-3?
I wasn't. That was a team, Scott Maher had his group when they came down there. We were in, I think it was our 7th or 8th practice by the time we had scrimmaged Albany. They came down and we were very vanilla in our systems. We were still learning in terms of, a single ride clear, a single man up, man down, just really starting to develop, get guys a feel for how we were going to sub and certain spots on the field. And they came out and they were very organized. They were very buttoned up and their team speed was excellent. So when they, going into that early season matchup with Syracuse is kind of finding their groove. They've got a lot of new faces. So I think Albany had returns a lot. They've got a lot of senior firepower. They've got the ace in the hole in terms of TD Ireland at the faceoff X. So they do it. That's a heck of a program. That's one to keep your eye on, down the road. They should have a good year.
Does the emphasis on faceoffs concern you? If you, do you think that's good for lacrosse or bad for lacrosse? It's a big issue.
It is what it is right now. I mean, everyone has their say. I think if I had Trevor Baptiste or TD Ireland, I think when it comes down to it, you don't want any single position like that to be able to control and manipulate wins and games. But it's within our game right now, and I'm okay with it.
So looking ahead to playing against Virginia, is there a different approach to this game in a few ways? One is, do you have to play a little deeper knowing that the tempo might be a little faster, or are you comfortable with the guys that you had out there last week? And that's one. And then the other thing, let's start with that, and then we'll get to the other part.
Sure. I mean, we didn't have, in terms of our offensive possessions last week, we were able to play our top unit for the majority of them. They were few and far between. Monmouth was doing a good job of slowing the game down. So we didn't have to go as deep as we'd liked. I think, look, this is week two of our season right here, so we still need to get a lot of experience on our belt. So we plan on playing a lot of guys. We plan on, really just seeing who can step up. We still have some young guys that need an opportunity. I think that as the game, if there are a lot of goals traded back and forth and it does turn into a track meet, we'll be prepared to play deeper into our bench.
And then the other thing is going on the road. I mean, it's your first time loading everybody up on the bus and going and staying. A lot of these guys done before, but for the 2018 regular season, to stay overnight, to have that business trip attitude, is there something different about going on the road than to playing at home? Because I saw your guys walking down to the locker room last Saturday as I was walking over to the field, and they're all in jackets and ties walking down after a team meal. But to go out on the road and be representing Princeton and Princeton lacrosse.
Yeah, I mean, we love it. I think our guys get giddy when they, when it's time to go on the road. They love the road trips. It just builds the brotherhood and the camaraderie. It's unfortunate that we get travel rosters in the Ivy League and we're not able to travel with our whole team. And that piece always stings a little bit because it is, it is such fun energy when you're away and you're really just focused on being a college lacrosse player and being a great teammate. So, you know, it's unfortunate that we can't do it with our whole squad. But no, the guys are really excited. I mean, I think always playing at home, 1952 Stadium is such a special place. So we cherish every opportunity, even practicing down there, to take that field. So when we get to play in front of our home fans and on 52, there's nothing better. It's such an incredible spot. But I think the guys will be chomping at the bit. They're excited. You know, they love getting to the hotels. They love hanging out with each other. And, you know, it gives us a lot of time to be away, prepare, and also get to know them a little better and see what we're made of. So, no, I think all the guys will be fired up. And you know, it's a fun place to play down there.
So it'll be Princeton at Virginia. That is Saturday, 1 o'clock faceoff. You can watch that game on the ACC network. There are a lot of streaming options as well. Just look on the website and you'll be able to figure it out. You can also listen to it on the Listen Live app or on, if you're in the Princeton area, WPRB FM 103.3. Coach Madelon, good luck against Virginia. We'll be back next week. Talk about that game and look ahead to Hopkins.
Thanks a bunch. Look forward to next week.
This is the Princeton LaxCast. We'll be with you every Thursday during the lacrosse season with head coach Matt Madelon. And once again, thank you for your support of Princeton men's lacrosse.